Just wanted to hit some high points as we're looking at our series on studying to know things. We want to study to know who we are. And we've talked about already who we are as human beings, that we're created in God's image, that we're His offspring, that we're lower than the angels, stewards over the earth, sinners in need of a Savior, dust, unclean, dead spiritually, as a shadow, and dying physically. But as Christians, and we talked about this last time, we talked a little bit about who we are as Christians, because just looking at ourselves as human beings doesn't paint a very pretty picture. But as Christians, we are God's adopted children. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are unprofitable servants. We are not under the law. We've been delivered. We are conquerors. We are the Lord's. We are His possession, others. We belong to Him. We are God's laborers, crops, and building. We are partakers of Christ. And we are the savor of Christ. And we are ambassadors for Christ. So we've looked at those things about who we are, but we want to further look at who we are as Christians tonight. And we only have about 9 more to go. But if we go a minute or two for each one, that won't take us long. In addition to those things we've already covered, we learn that we are His workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's why God made us, to do the works that He has before ordained, the things He's prepared beforehand for us to do. He's already planned out what He wants us as Christians to do. And so we are His workmanship. He created us and then He recreated us as Christians. We are members of one another. Sometimes I think we miss just how close our relationship as Christians should be. Yeah, we come together and we talk and we fellowship a little bit, but the Bible tells us we are members of one another. We are as close to one another as our own selves are to one another in the body. And that should be something that we are constantly in contact with one another and involved with one another. And Ephesians 4:25, he says, "Put away lying and speak truth with your neighbor, for we are members one of another." When I lie to my neighbor or I lie to my brother and sister in Christ, I'm hurting myself as much as I'm hurting them. And then we also notice that we are members of His body. And certainly as such, there's a certain level of expectation that comes of being part of His body. Ephesians 5:30 says we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. We're part of Christ if we're Christians. And as such, we have a responsibility to act as a part of His body would act. We are very disturbed when we have parts of our own body that don't act the way we want them to. We go to the doctor to get that checked out. What's wrong? Because my body's not acting like a part of my body should act. Well, Christ has the same issue with us sometimes when we don't act like a part of His body should act. And we need to be the way that He wants us to be, because we are part of His body. We are the circumcision. Philippians 3:3, Paul talks about the fact that, you know, that we know the Jews were the circumcised, the Gentiles, which we're just mostly, most of us today in America are Gentiles. There are some Jews around, but most of us are Gentiles. We were the uncircumcised according to the law of Moses. But Paul talks about the fact that as Christians, now that we've come to a new age of the religious world, we went from a patriarchal age, and then there was the law of Moses, the Mosaical age, but now in the Christian age, things are different. And it's not a matter of physically being circumcised. In Philippians 3:3, he says, "We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." That's us. It doesn't matter about the physical relationship with Israel. And time and again in the New Testament, we're told it's not just those who are descended from Abraham by birth. That's not what matters. It's about the spiritual side of things. In addition to being the circumcision, 1 Corinthians 6:11 tells us that we are washed, sanctified, and justified. Sometime we'll have to dig in sometime on those words sanctified and justified and talk about some of those things a little deeper. But 1 Corinthians 6:11, even talking about those in Corinth who had been all kinds of sinners. He lists back in verses 6 through 9, he's going about their sins and who they used to be and what they used to do. But then he gets to this passage and he says, "And such were some of you." He's talked about those things. But he said, "But you're not that anymore. As a Christian now, you're different. You're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus." And then, of course, if we are Christians, then we are of God. We are not of the devil. We're not of this world. We're not of ourselves. We are of God. 1 John 4:6 says, "We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that's not of God doesn't hear us." This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If we're listening to the apostles, if we're listening to their guiding, then we are of God. Those who are not listening to Him, to them, and not following that path are not. 1 John 5:19, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness." Now, there's a lot of wickedness in the world, but we are not to be part of that. We are supposed to be of God. And then we also find that as Christians, we are of the truth. And that is another side of the same coin in many ways. If God is true, He's not ever going to be a liar. And so if we're going to be of Him, then we're going to have to also be of the truth. In 1 John 3:19, this is how we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. John writes these things in 1 John. A lot of these things, he says, this is how we know these things. We need to study the book of John, 1 John is a great book to bolster our faith as Christians, to remind us of what we know and how we know it and how we can be proved to be what we think we are. It's a wonderful book in that way. We also then notice that as Christians, we are in Him. We're not only of Him or from Him, but we're in Him. Just as He is to be in us, we are to be in Him. 1 John 2:5, "Whoever keeps His word truly in Him, the love of God is perfected, and this is how we know that we are in Him." If we're keeping His word, then we know we're in Him. And then in chapter 5 and verse 20, "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the One who is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." We can know that we're in Him. And of course, if all of these things are true of us, we are all of these things that we've discussed as Christians, then we also recognize that we are in the Book of Life. Our names are recorded in the Book of Life. And we haven't gotten quite to that in Revelation 21 and verse 27 yet. We'll get there at some point. But Revelation 21, 27 says, "There shall in no wise enter in anything that defiles, neither anything that works abomination or makes a lie, but those that are written in the Lamb's book of life." In Luke 10:20, when the disciples came back after Jesus had sent them out and they had done some miracles and They were pretty impressed with themselves because they had cast out demons and things. Jesus' response to them says, "Don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are in subjection to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." You don't have to cast out demons or heal the blind or make the lame walk in order to have your name in heaven. But as we've learned looking at the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, the way to have your name written in heaven is to overcome. We've got to conquer. We've just got to continue to remain faithful to God throughout our lives and unto death. So as we consider these things, we can conclude with this section. And then we're going to look next time that we're together on this subject, we're going to dig into knowing who we ought to be. We've known who we are as human beings. We know who we are as Christians, how God sees us, how He created us. But now, what are we supposed to be? What should we be? And so we'll look at that next time. If you're here tonight and you're not living up to the standards that God has set, if you say, "Well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm not these things that we've talked about tonight," then there are some corrections that you need to be making in your life to make sure that you are these things. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, then look at all the things you're missing out on getting to be. Whatever the case, if you have a need to respond to God's invitation tonight, please do so as we stand and as we sing.